Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today I have Tracy Reese here with me. Now, Tracy is a marketing instructor. She is a marketing expert, but she's also the founder and owner of Aradia Fitness. And Tracy has just a vast knowledge of marketing plans and strategies, entrepreneurship, strategies around customer service and integrating your marketing communication. So we are going to dive in to how these topics interact with being an online social seller and get some of the key golden nuggets that Tracy would recommend as being a marketing expert. So thank you so much for being on the show, Tracy.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks so much for having me. Great to be here.
Yeah, so great to chat and catch up. So the first thing that I think everyone's going to want to know is more about your background and sort of what has led you to the point of teaching marketing and being an expert in marketing, because I know you just have a super cool background of how you found entrepreneurship. So let's start there.
I actually come from a long line of entrepreneurs in my family, and I'm going to go way back to 2003. I was a branch manager for the Bank of Montreal in downtown Vancouver. And I, you know, great gig, but I knew that I needed to own my own business. And I had been searching for different opportunities for quite some time, and nothing really suited me. Nothing really stuck with me. And I stumbled upon a fitness opportunity, pole dancing for fitness. Mm-hmm. And it's been around for such a long time now. It doesn't, you know, people understand what it is, but back then nobody really knew what it was. Nobody in Canada was doing it. And I teamed up with a friend of mine from St. John, New Brunswick, where I'm from originally, Christine Boyer, and the two of us started this company called Aradia Fitness. And we had to blaze this trail that no one had ever done before. And I took a leap, left the bank, and thankfully it worked out. Within 2 years, we grew the business across Canada through franchising. And that was a great experience for me. I was in charge of selling the franchises, training the franchisees, getting them hooked up with their marketing programs. And I was on an airplane 10 times a month flying across the country. But it was a really great opportunity to hone those skills from scratch. And I was thinking about it the other day. I no longer have to answer the questions of, gee, are you a stripper? Like, were you a stripper? And no offense to strippers, you know, if I was, great. But, you know, the industry has evolved so much that everybody understands that it's a legitimate form of fitness. And I'm thankfully, Aradia Fitness is still around today. We're operating in Canada and the United States. And when I first started, social media was MySpace and message boards. So I really am thankful that I had the opportunity to sort of see that how social media could be used to drive business, even through MySpace. And then Facebook came along, then Instagram and Twitter. And now we're, you know, it's video and all of this. And I was thinking this morning of what would I have done if the COVID-19 situation that we're in today happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when we first started, and we would have been dead in the water. Because today, our Aradia Fitness locations, although we are a boutique fitness face-to-face concept, our locations have done a great job pivoting to online classes out of necessity. So I think this is a terrible time and a terrible situation that we're in. However, it's also a great opportunity to hone your online skills and to ramp up your online sales if you haven't already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think this is the perfect time. I was just having a chat with my sister today, and she has a retail space in downtown Port Hope, Ontario. Nice. She just opened in October. And that's what we were talking about, just that this is the time to really pivot. You have the time and the space, you're not dealing with the customers. This is the time. And so, in terms of Aradia Fitness, I always found this super interesting what you had really done with Aradia Fitness. And correct me if I'm wrong here, were you guys the first certification that allowed people to start teaching?
Yeah, we were the first pole dancing for fitness studio in Canada that opened. We started that in Vancouver and started franchising. Our first franchise was in Edmonton, Alberta in 2005. And then we spread across Canada and spread through to Cary, North Carolina in 2006 was our first U.S. location. So we were the first in Canada doing certifications, franchise training, licensing sales. So it was a real learning experience. A franchise lawyer thought we were nuts. You know, how can you possibly, everybody thought we were going to fall on our face. And I knew the business model that we had developed was going to work. And here we are 15 years later, still almost 16 years later, still successful, still, you know, making our mark on the fitness industry. And it's been a roller coaster ride for sure. But yes, we were the first in Canada to do that. And we're still the largest pole dancing for fitness company in the world today.
That's incredible. I always love that story that you would tell about being in the Hard Rock. That always just blew my mind.
Yeah, I don't know if your listeners practice manifesting and visualization techniques, mm-hmm. but I am a big believer in that. And, you know, my business partner and I, before we actually sold our first franchise, we did make an investment to spend a couple of days with a franchise expert to determine if we were on the right track or not by franchising. And he said, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I said, well, I see myself with my own studio in the Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. And lo and behold, that's where I was in 5 years' time, running my own studio inside the Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it was something that I knew I wanted to expand beyond Canada. I loved Las Vegas, so I made it happen. You know, I got a business owner's permanent residency and had to make an investment into the local economy by hiring local employees, and it worked out great. And I absolutely loved being in the Hard Rock. It was wonderful to be there. I got to meet amazing people. You know, I had about 100 new faces that I was teaching every single week. So it was a very cool experience. And, you know, it's Las Vegas. What's not to love, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think that a lot of the listeners that I have on the show are 100% into that. They are, you know, manifestation is part of, you know, what they love to do and what they love to dream about and think about, and learning how to trust that gut instinct that it's the right move. Cause I think sometimes we can get stuck. When I was working in corporate, it was like, there was no really great time to leave and then start, you know, adventuring out into something else. But I was lucky that the rug was pulled from underneath me. Yeah. Company I was working for closed, and I was forced to have that decision made for me where I was either going to start handing out resumes or I was going to just continue on, I guess, dreams or things that woke me up in the middle of the night if I was going to pursue those or not. Right. So
there's no accidents.
No, that's right. So I want to talk a little bit more about that on your, you know, when you left the corporate world and started, you know, manifesting these dreams and things that you wanted in your life, what did that look like? And how did you know to sort of trust that intuition?
Funny enough, I've got to back it up. When I was in college, I said, you know, I think I want to be in management in the financial industry. That sounds like a really cool thing. And I didn't know anything about it. I just said it out loud that I think that's what I want to do. And I moved to Vancouver and got this job with the bank. And funny enough, every 6 months, I got a promotion. And I ended up being one of the youngest female branch managers in British Columbia that they had ever had. And I, you know, there's also a case of watch what you wish for, because I realized, okay, this is cool and I'm doing it, but I don't love it. This isn't my job for the rest of my life. I was still in my early 30s. This is not what I wanted to do forever. And so then I started to think, okay, I manifested that. The opportunity to learn, well, actually I had to teach myself from my fitness background, the pole dancing. And I just knew with all of my heart that this was going to work. And I knew I could manifest a large company that could pay me a full-time salary that would allow me the opportunity to travel and move to Las Vegas, which is something I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And it literally came down to just having this unshakable belief that that was going to happen. And I didn't really worry about how it was going to happen, because it all came about in the craziest ways. My getting a location at the Hard Rock Hotel, I had no connections there. It's incredibly difficult to get into your business into a Las Vegas casino. Normally, you're paying rents up to $1 million a year. That wasn't going to work for me. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, one of my instructors was a go-go dancer at the Hard Rock, and she made an introduction. They were building a new hotel tower with beautiful new spa and a gym. And the spa director wanted pole dancing. They were going to put a pole up, but they had nobody to teach it. So my instructor came to me and said, "Hey, there's this opportunity. How about I, you know, set up an appointment for you?" And there we go. And the great thing was, it didn't cost $1 million for us to be there. I just paid a very small percentage of what I made. The hotel was cool that it drew women into the spa, because otherwise, you know, how many young ladies go to the spa when they're for a weekend in Las Vegas? So it drew more traffic to the spa, which was a win for them. And it was cheap rent for me, and I got to do exactly what I wanted to do. So it wasn't even a matter, I didn't write it down. Some people do feel like they need to write their goals down, and that's great. I think the biggest thing for me is believe it and then let it go. And just know that it's going to happen, and don't try to force it. It will happen the way it's supposed to happen.
Mm. Yeah. And I've always very much admired your philosophy around that in itself. The energy is flowing, and you've just got to, like you said, just sort of let it go. So would you say that when you put something out there and when you're manifesting something, that you would often see clues, or like, how do you go about really, I guess, letting it go and also paying attention to that?
Yeah. I always say to people, because now I'm teaching marketing and I'm very passionate about that. I always say to students, you know, they'll say, "Well, I got this phone call to go on this interview and I don't think so." I'm like, "You know what? You take every opportunity that comes your way to meet every single person, go on every single interview, go to that event, even though you don't want to, just go, be open and do everything that is in your way, because if you stay home and wait for the phone to ring, it's probably not going to happen. Our job to help our manifestation dreams come true is to just be out there, be willing to meet people, and just be open. You know, for me, my signs and clues were very, very clear. You know, here's this opportunity to meet the spa director at the Hard Rock Hotel. Do you want that? Well, yes, I do, you know, but I had to make that happen by getting the guts to leave my life behind in Canada and move to a new country. I mean, I know it's right next door to us, but it's still a new country. They still do things very differently there, and take that financial leap, because I had no big safety net. It was this had to work or it didn't. So you've got to take those steps. You know, if you want to become a social seller, where's your Instagram account? Where's your Facebook account? What have you signed? You know, what are you doing to learn about that industry? And then those opportunities and those doors will open up. Go to those seminars, go to those workshops, sign up for things, because you never know who you're going to meet, right?
Yeah, even in when I first started thinking about this idea of the Fitness Leader Institute. And I had this dream one night that name came to me, and sort of these random string of events started to happen. Yeah. There was one person in particular that I went to high school with, and I don't even recall how we decided we should probably catch up. We weren't even in the same year. Like, she was a couple years older than me. I was friends with her brother in kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, it was a random occurrence. And that phone call that I interviewed her for my blog back in that time sparked how I started working with Beachbody coaches. Nice. And helping them. So, and that is now the majority of social sellers that I end up working with are Beachbody coaches or people in the health and fitness industry. So it's amazing that, like you're saying, that one phone call, that one chance meeting, and everything else just unfolds around you.
And I tell you, when it came to growing Aradia Fitness, you can't be shy. If you really have this dream and you really want to make it happen, you know, we would pick up the phone and call before we had our own studio. You know, every gym in the city, can we rent a room? You know, you've got every single person that I met, I would introduce myself, say, this is my company. Would you like a business card? Do you know some women? Would they like a business card? You know, every restaurant I went to, hey, do you have a staff room? Here's some business cards. Would you like, you know, I was like a machine almost of this is what I'm starting to do. Here's my business card. Here's the phone number. Here's a web address. And I would just made sure anyone I came into contact with knew this is what I was doing. And the more you do that, the more it comes true, right? You know, at the time, you know, let's say 3 months into Aradia Fitness being open, it was just every single day, everywhere I went. And I would go out of my way to go to different stores to shop. Hey, have you ever heard of this? I do this, you know, and just it's that face-to-face marketing, I guess, some guerrilla marketing. But the more you tell people and the more you put it out there, the more likely it is that dream's going to come true because someone will know somebody that they can introduce you to, right?
Yeah, I love that. So true. And so looking at, you know, I want to dive a little bit more into talking about marketing plans and the social media strategy behind it. So when you're teaching courses on marketing plans, what do you feel are the top three things, the top fundamentals that most entrepreneurs maybe skip over or don't spend enough time on that causes problems later in their business?
Yeah. The first one is create a plan, even if it's a loose plan. You know, I make my students write a 30-page marketing plan, but did I personally do that for Aradia Fitness? No, I did not have time. It was, you know, meeting around a restaurant table and making two or three pages of notes and then making sure that, so that's step one. You've got to have a plan. And if you're not sure about your plan, ask someone for their opinion on your plan and be willing to take feedback. Number two, when it comes to your marketing plan, be willing to take some feedback and action it. One issue that I see sometimes comes up with entrepreneurs is they don't want to hear the feedback. They think they have it right, or their ego is too precious to them. They have this need to be right. So if you want to be a really successful entrepreneur, you've got to be willing to take feedback and take it to heart and possibly action it. So come up with a plan, ask for feedback, take the feedback. And when it comes to the plan itself, especially for social sellers, and right now the whole world is transitioning into social selling. So you need to have a solid plan for, are you on the right social media platforms to reach your target market? Number one, do you know who your target market is so that when you are spending money on those Facebook ads or those Instagram ads, that you're entering the correct demographic information? You know, you can create a persona of who's your ideal target market. Is her name Susie Jones? And she's 25 to 35 years old, and she's got her first job. She likes being fit. She likes doing fitness activities with her friends. You know, like, you need to know who you are selling to. So create that persona if you need to. And your plan of be on the right platform. Come up, even if it's, there's all kinds of online social calendars that you can plan, but even if you just print a calendar off and pencil it in, you've got to plan out your campaigns. You've got to plan out, what are you going to do for all the major holidays? What are you going to do on a day-to-day basis to engage your followers? And those three, but once I get started, I could talk forever about this stuff, right? And the big thing that falls into marketing / customer service of, once you put your ads out there, what is your time management plan to interact when people like or share or comment on your posts? Part of creating a long-term client of your product or service is, especially for social sellers, of, if people are taking the time to comment on your post, you better be commenting something back, acknowledge them in some way. It needs to be for the person that's doing the commenting. They want to feel like they were heard, right? It's no different than a face-to-face conversation. Can you imagine having a face-to-face conversation where I do all the talking and you don't say a word? You know, we need to think about our conversations that we're having with our clients and potential clients on social media, what's that going to look like? And you've got to take that time to go back to your posts, even if they're older posts, and start responding back. That's how you're going to get people truly involved with your brand and get them talking about your brand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect.
Might be time intensive, but it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start. I want to talk to you first about the plan. So most people, I think exactly as you said, we jump into it. We assume that we'll just sort of follow the plan. Maybe, you know, as a social seller, you're getting some sort of skeleton plan of like, share your journey and, you know, be a, you know, the face of the product. It's really $5 words versus really breaking that down. Let's say you were looking over someone's marketing plan.
Yeah.
What is it that tells you that it's either a really solid plan or you would have some concerns about how that plan looks?
If this is a quick and dirty, like one or two, three page plan, first and foremost, does this plan clearly state what your value proposition is? So you just mentioned, you know, people think, well, I'm just going to share my journey and take cute pictures around that. And it's going to be so great. And that's nice. People will read that, but they really want to know what's in it for me. What's the value of what you're proposing for me to part with my money? What is the value of this to me? So does your marketing plan show what your value proposition is? And do you understand what your value proposition is? Because then you can craft really good posts, some quality posts. People are looking, when we talk about value that you're creating, people are looking for a few things. And to make it really basic, we all want to know, can you make me time, save me time, make me money, or make me look good in some way, shape, or form, right? Are you going to make me look good and, you know, physically look good, or are you going to make me look good and increase my value to my clients? Those are the big ones. So that value proposition needs to be in place, and you have to understand what it is that you're selling. Okay.
So if you were to look back at Aradia Fitness and think about that value proposition, just for everyone that's trying to wrap their hands around what this may look like, what would be an example that you would give?
The value for people was, we weren't making people money, but the make me look good. In that sense, it was, yes, it's physical exercise. And yes, people were seeing physical improvements. They were also seeing mental improvements. Their mental health was improving because we had done such a good job at creating this community of women where anyone and everyone was welcome. So our value proposition was built around the make me look good. And it was all wrapped up in this great, and it still is, in this great close-knit community that welcomes anyone. And it's not just women anymore. Men come to class and all of that. And I was just saying to a franchisee the other day, we welcomed our first transgender student in 2004 into our class. And that was a big deal back then and still a big deal today that, and, you know, to be so inclusive and so welcoming. But that's what our value proposition was and still is today.
I don't know why this is like taking over my brain. I just think of Jennifer Lopez in the movie Hustlers. And I can't help but feel like the empowerment and all these things that, you know, I don't know about anyone else, but my takeaway from that was, holy smokes. She looks fantastic. Her strength is unbelievable. Just all these things about, okay, now I want to learn how to do that.
Yeah. And I tell you people all the time, I'm not strong enough. I couldn't do that. It'll make you strong in so many ways, not just physically, but people, I always use the analogy, you know, people would come into their first class with their baggy t-shirt and their sweats on and no makeup on. And they're just really timid. And literally six weeks later, they throw the door open to the studio and they got their makeup on and their hair's done and they got a brand new Lululemon outfit on and they're just, you know, their shoulders are thrown back and they're so confident and they'll say, I just broke up with that terrible boyfriend and, or I just, you know, got that new job I've been wanting. And it, as a form of fitness, it's so much more than that. But yes, the value proposition was, you know, good. What's in it for me? You're going to look good, feel good, increase your confidence. So
It's interesting because that example that you gave of the, you know, woman coming in being a certain person before and being transformed It's like sometimes we wait for the fitness to do its work. So we have right. this after body and whatnot, but it's, you guys superseded that, you know, that comes with yeah. it, but it's the confidence. Yeah. That
I tell you one thing we've never talked about is, you know, we'll say if people bring it up, like, am I going to lose weight? Sure. But you're also going to get strong and you're going to feel good. We really, and that just came organically. We never really focus on, are you going to get a six pack? Yeah. You stick with it in a year's time, you're going to have a six pack. Like there's no magic mm-hmm. bullet to getting fit. You just have to put the work in, but that's not something we've 100% focused on. It's fun. There's that community. You're going to mm-hmm. feel good. And yes, you're going to get strong and look good and all of that. But it's never been the number one thing we've focused on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Though. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So we've nailed that. So we've got, in terms of our marketing plan, the number one thing we got to do is clearly be able to state our value proposition and what's actually in it for our client. That yes. feels super yeah. clear. Love that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about this next stage with feedback. So what kind of things, I guess, looking for with the feedback, how do you know when it's okay, I got to start pivoting my business, or how do you know it's something that you're like, cool, appreciate the feedback.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it with a grain of salt and keep on right. keeping on. How do yeah. you know the difference?
You know, first of all, if they're giving you feedback that is just about something that's so far beyond your control, you know, for an example to use real time today, our studios are closed. And we've got people who have booked bachelorette parties and they're upset that their parties are canceled and mm-hmm. it's all our fault and we've ruined bachelorette party. And like, you know, the response of you should do better than that. Well, okay. And there's literally people saying that you should do better than that. You know, you need to figure this out. Well, this is something that is beyond our control. So mm-hmm. if you're getting feedback that is something you financially could not possibly address, or mm-hmm. it's circumstances beyond your control, or if it just seems so out of left field and it's so out of line with your brand promise, mm-hmm. then leave it alone. But mm-hmm. if it's people who are reasonably leaving you feedback of, hey, any chance that you could add this to your mm-hmm. offering? Well, yeah, okay, let me think about that. Because your customers, if we're using fitness as an example, if your customers are saying, hey, I'd really love to have this kind of class, and you keep getting the same request over and over from different people, then yeah, you're going to stop and listen to that. If you are a business coach and you have people requesting training on a certain topic, then yeah, you can take the time and develop that and roll it out. It might be something that's been on your back burner and you just didn't put a priority on. So it just needs, is the request or the feedback reasonable and within your financial means to accomplish? And is it, if you're going to do it, would it be in line with your brand? You can't stray too far away from your brand image and your brand promise. And your brand promise kind of ties into your value proposition too. What are you promising your clients, right?
Yeah, I like that a lot because normally I've heard it referred to as shiny object syndrome.
Right.
And because I've had this a couple of times where people come to me and they ask for certain things in terms of like done for you content. And what I always try to go back to is what I promise the people that I work with is that I will eliminate the overwhelm in their marketing efforts so that they can have the authentic business of their dreams. If it's not eliminating overwhelm in marketing, if it's not making their life easier, if it's actually adding to the confusion of like how many products I have, or it doesn't fall neatly into a done for you writing template, I don't take it on. So I love that you said that with your promise, whatever you're putting out there and saying to your customers, this is what I promise you'll achieve. Yeah. It has to fall within that alignment. Yeah. I think that's just so bang on.
This is where you find out, you know, not every customer is meant for your business. Right. Yeah. Maybe they belong somewhere else. And, you know, I teach professional sales. And one thing I'll always say, like, sometimes you have to fire a client. You know, not all money's good money. Not every person's going to fit with your brand, but you'll find your tribe that is willing to spend money with you as opposed to someone else, right?
Yeah. And let's move to the last step here around actioning it. And then I want to talk more about this finding your tribe.
Okay.
And that, because that is a huge question amongst the listeners. So let's talk about actioning it. So once you've gathered this feedback, you know how you're going to go about your brand promise, what that is, the value proposition, you've sort of pulled all those pieces together.
Yeah.
What would you recommend in terms of a marketing strategy to get yourself out there and in front of the right people?
So this also ties into, do you know who your target market is? Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important to build target market persona, so to speak. It's not enough to say, well, women between the ages of 30 and 45, that's it. Like, you know, it's that's not enough. And, you know, reporters used to ask me all the time when I first started Radio Fitness, so who's your target market? And I'd say everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, sure, technically, but no. Like, you know, and we're building a new iteration of our website. And we just had this conversation last week. Who's our target market? They are women between the ages of 30 and 45 who are professional and have the money to spend long-term on a boutique fitness business and, and are looking for that once or twice a week class to go to where they can be with their tribe. But yeah, to take action on this feedback, don't rush. In today's world, there's so much competition. You can't just slap a plan together and kind of wing it. You take the time to put together, is it a series of engaging posts with the right message that's going to appeal to your target market? So going back to the target market, how old are they? What do they do for a living? What are their hobbies? What do they like to eat? What do they like to drink? Do they like to spend time with their friends or not? Do they Netflix or do they Prime? Like what is it that they, you need to know your target market inside and out, because that help you craft the right message. If you action a very well created and targeted series of social media posts on the right platform to reach that target market, then you're going to get that traction that you're looking for, those likes, those shares. And even more importantly, we want to know what's happening when people are sitting down face to face with their friends and having these conversations. So word of mouth makes or breaks any business, right? And word of mouth is, I've lived off of positive word of mouth for the last 15 years. It's been incredibly important to my business. And I think people need to be aware of those social media posts that you're creating and putting out there could create that positive word of mouth of people's messaging and forwarding these posts. Hey, look at this. Hey, you know, check this out. Or they're at Sunday brunch with their friends. Hey, pulls up their phone. Did you see this? We should all go do this, or we should sign up for this, or let's investigate this more. And all that stems from a very well thought out targeted series of posts. And I would say, and especially right now, everything's happening on social media when it comes to promoting your business. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. The ideal customer profile, really nailing that. It's funny that you brought that up. I'm interested to hear sort of how you advise digging into it. I'm doing a workshop next week, actually, on this, a 2-hour workshop to dig into how to really get, you know, go through some of the back pages of the internet to figure out what are they saying. What is their terminology? Yeah. How do they actually talk? Because I see that all the time. There's this blanketed approach.
Yeah.
And it's more so people are almost like having a conversation with themselves versus looking at who's the person across the table from me.
Right.
So if you were to think about just one or two tips in terms of that research component for the ideal customer profile, what would be a couple of things you would dig into to find that information?
On a most basic level, if you have, you know, go back through your previous posts and click on people who've liked, shared, commented, and take a look at their social media profiles. That'll give, that's the cheapest way, because you can spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars with companies who will do something called social media listening for you, and will get those buzzwords that will help you create that persona. But, you know, let's say, you know, if you're just getting started or you're a small business, you don't have the money to do that. So I would recommend just going back to your old posts and ask people, ask your friends and family. If you go out to a store, again, I'm going back to my old days. If you're out at a store or a restaurant, tell people what you do. Don't be shy and say, is this something you'd be interested in? And you can, that will help build a profile. And if they're being, you know, if the person's being honest, you know what? No, I don't think I would do that, but my mom would. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, how old's your mom? And what does she do? That just people will talk to you about this stuff. We also, as much as marketing and promotions is happening on social media today, you still need to step outside of your house and go talk to people mm-hmm. and ask, hey, I'm doing this. Would this interest you? No. Do you know anyone who would it? I'm just trying to build my target market profile. And people will help you. People will mm-hmm. talk to you all day long about things like that. So get out of the house and start telling people and asking those questions. That doesn't cost you anything but your time. And again, go back to your old posts if you have any and just see who's been commenting and liking and sharing. And if you have one or two clients, ask them, what made you want to spend your money with me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in terms of, you know, going back to old posts and looking at those profiles, I think there's such gold in that. You can, in a way, delegate that social listening to yourself if you get an idea of who that, you know, that inner circle is there. Okay, awesome. So I want to just spend a little bit of time talking about this attracting your tribe concept. Mm-hmm. And I love this, being able to fire customers, some money is bad money, and how to really get in front of the right people that are your people. Yeah. So what advice would you have for somebody that is like desperately trying to do that?
Figure out who you are first. You know, the easiest thing to do is to attract like-minded people. And if, let's say you've got three Beachbody coaches, they're not all exactly the same people, right? So create your target market off of the type of people you want to do business with. So if I'm very to the point and I want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and get my workout in and then get on with my day and I live by my organizer and my calendar, that's the type of target market I want to deal with. Because if I attract a client who, well, you know, I'll get my workout in sometime during the day, but maybe I won't, and you know, figure out who you are as a person and then kind of work on creating a like-minded tribe to you, and then you won't have to fire them. you know, no three Beachbody coaches are the same personality. So what's your personality? Craft your message around that, and that'll get you started. And it'll also help you figure out who do you want to be as a brand. I think we've gotten down this rabbit hole of, you know, when you said, I'm going to share my journey and people are just going to love that. And yeah, some people will love it. Maybe everybody will love it, but that doesn't mean they want to do business with you, because they, you know, if you've let your personality come out on your social media posts, people who are like you will be attracted to your business model.
Yeah.
Right. That's the cheapest, again, if we're trying to think of cheap, easy ways to get started and get going, that's what I would recommend. You've got to know who you are and what kind of people do you want to do business with.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good first step.
Yeah. And I think the holistic view, because if you have, let's say your target audience are moms that are at home and they have two kids that they're taking care of, there's always this, I think actually Pat Flynn calls it lyrics that those customers use that I hear all the time. I hear things like, oh, I work, you know, during the cracks of my day, or there's this nap time hustle that happens.
Yeah.
There's these sort of key words that that audience uses. And the goal is to, you know, figure out more of that stuff so that you can start integrating that into your posts and your language that you're using.
Yeah. Goes back to your social listening.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the purpose of that. Like you were saying, the social listening is to find those things. Yeah. And that's why that research is so important, because, you know, you could have a plan put together, but if you haven't listened to the audience, then you're not utilizing the right wording and language and things to capture their attention.
Right.
And I think sometimes, you know, I see things out there that the more relatable it is in terms of a social media post, the more people like it. And for me, that's, I usually engage and comment on things that are humorous.
Right.
Like if it's anything to do with Tiger Kings right now, I'm just all over it. you know, because it's relatable. I've seen it. I've heard, you know, but if it's a picture of somebody, I don't know, like just randomly in their house, it's not as relatable to me. So it's how to not only the language, but then figuring out what can that person
relate to. Those cultural touchstones and, and visually, because, you know, we're not going to stop and read the content unless the visual is engaging, right? So getting that right visual is, And we're moving towards this trend of our visuals not being as stylized and perfect as they have been. So that's something to take into consideration as well. Our Gen Zs and our younger millennials, they like to see those real looking visual images, real content.
There's like a serious rise. I don't know if anyone else has noticed this, but there's a serious rise in photos where I see, you know, on social media, people crying or like, this is how bad my day has been. Just those things. So it is an interesting trend that is happening, the more raw, vulnerable.
I've got people that I've coached before, they're, you know, they're doing a live video and they're crying. And before we would just never, that would just be unheard of. But now we've completely embraced that. And you know, realism is in.
It's so true. And so, Tracy, I just have two last questions for you. If you were to tell us what your favorite books on marketing are, or things that you would just really recommend around communication or marketing, what are your go-to books that you would recommend?
I actually don't have the time to sit down and read all these marketing books. So I have a stack at home that I've barely cracked. I barely get through the first because I am the mom and running a business and teaching full time and doing all these things. What I do is I tell my students this, subscribe to Social Media Today. It's a fantastic resource. So that's, I get a post sent to my inbox every morning, and that's what I read, Social Media Today. And they do all of the research and the homework for me of this is what's new with Instagram, and this is what's new with Instagram influencers. This is what's new with Facebook. Any new developments or changes in social media, and literally it's happening daily, I get that information to my inbox, and that's what I read. And I pay attention to, you know, Gary Vee and all these people, but my time is so limited. I literally, if I've got 10 minutes a day that I can commit to reading about marketing. And I personally want to spend most of my time reading about social media marketing, and it's social media today. That's what I follow religiously.
That's awesome. I definitely have to subscribe to that. I think a lot of people can relate to sometimes books work, but it's
I love to read. I love to read, but I just can't. I just can't. I don't have the time.
Fair enough. And so, Tracy, where can people find you and follow you if they want to reach out or get in touch?
You know what? I'm going to give you my email address. Your listeners can get in touch with me at Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, at aradiafitness.com. A-R-A-D-I-A, fitness.com. And our website is aradiafitness.com. You can find me on Instagram at tracy.grayreese, R-E-E-S-E. And I'm on Facebook under Tracy Reese as well. And feel free to get in contact with me at any time. I love talking to people about their businesses. I've been helping people get their businesses off the ground and doing some coaching just for, years now. But I just love to do it. I just love to talk to people about their businesses. So
I appreciate you sharing those different places that people can reach out. And thank you so much for all your time today. Like
thanks
so many golden nuggets in there.
Appreciate it. So, thanks so much, Ashley.
Thanks.